On behalf of you all, on behalf of the church, I'd like to thank Pastor Paul, all the musicians and singers, technicians in the back, everybody for their part in this. And in a way, it's fitting that they exit the stage. We want to give them a hand for their hard work. But ultimately, we want to give a hand to our great God, the one who sent the Savior of the world. So let's give Him a hand. Amen. Well, what a great time of worship together. You have to endure with me for a few minutes. A difficult act to follow there. Beautiful music. A great time together so far. But I do want to share a few thoughts from God's Word with you this morning. In our Christmas series, the cradle, the crown, and the cross, we've been saying that the message of Christmas is actually summed up in those words, cradle, cross, and crown. But many suffer from a kind of seasonal amnesia. You might be wondering what I mean by a seasonal amnesia. Well, football season arrives, a lot of football lovers in here. The leaves begin to change, they come and go, fall off the trees. Thanksgiving, all the turkey and celebration, that too comes and goes. Then enters Christmas, the nostalgia, the sentimentalism of Christmas. And baby Jesus appears everywhere, right? We see Him on cards, in music, in stores, in nativities everywhere. And baby Jesus kind of takes the center stage. But that's when the seasonal amnesia strikes. And what I mean by seasonal amnesia is this willful, voluntary forgetfulness of the complete work of Jesus Christ. We forget the cross because we want to focus so much on the cradle. But in order for us to really grasp the true meaning of Christmas, we cannot separate the cross from the cradle, nor the cradle from the cross. As the angel announced, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then Jesus Himself said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to do what? To serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Then later on, Paul said this, "Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of which I am the chief or the greatest." So the whole purpose Jesus was born, the whole reason for which He came, it's found in His name, Jesus. He will save His people from their sins. But just as we can't leave Jesus in the cradle, neither can we leave Him on the cross. We believe in Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again, crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we just heard so magnificently declared by our choir this morning. You might be thinking, Pastor Dan, that sounds an awful lot like Good Friday. That sounds an awful lot like Easter, and you're exactly right. They're separated by a few months on the calendar, but they are inseparably joined together, linked in the gospel. Good Friday, Easter, and Christmas. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the cradle, the cross, and the crown. So I want to just highlight some of that progression that we heard in the music. They sang of the cradle, right? Glory, glory, hallelujah. Christ is born in Bethlehem. He is Son of God and Son of Man, as sung by Jerry Hawks. Very, very well done. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. The choir also sang of the cross. Remember the reason He came. What a beautiful song. He did it all for us. Remember the reason was love, knowing that a manger bed would only be the start of a journey to a rugged cross. And then the choir sung of that crown. You are almighty. We're standing in the presence of Your majesty. You're holy. You alone, the sovereign crown of royalty. You're the King of Kings. Right? That's the whole, the full, the complete message of Christmas. Good news of great joy for all people. I want to focus our attention just for a few minutes on a very important phrase in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The author of Hebrews says, "Run with endurance the race set before you." And then he makes this statement, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to focus on that one little phrase there, for the joy set before him. Ponder with me for just a moment, joy at the cross. You know, we wear crosses as jewelry. We have them as decor in our homes. It's a beautiful image of the sacrificial death of Christ for us. But rewind some 2,000 years, not so beautiful a picture, right? Rough-cut lumber, iron spikes, and blood stains. That's what the cross represented. It was despised, the lowest form of capital punishment. Jesus went to that cross. And as he went to that cross, he experienced great physical pain, the scourging for us, being nailed, hung on the tree for us. He experienced great emotional pain there as well, ridiculed, rejected, deserted by the very ones he came to save. But worst of all, Jesus experienced great spiritual pain there at the cross, separation from the Father, bearing the sins of the world in his own body on the cross, drinking of the cup of God's wrath against sin. Jesus experienced all of that for us. Why would he do that? Why would the eternal Word made flesh, why would the sinless Son of God go to a cross, endure the suffering for us? Well, look around the world, right? Read the headlines. Even look into your own heart. You'll discover that there is something radically wrong in the world. Something radically wrong with human nature. We're all sick. We are all morally sick. We're all ruined, really, by that ugly three-letter word called sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's only one cure for that disease, the disease of sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for us. So I want to go back to that question again. Why would Jesus do it? Why would the sinless Son of God suffer on the cross according to Hebrews 12:2? And I love this. There are many understandings of this one phrase, but one of them stands out above all. It was for the joy set before him. Don't miss this. You were his joy as he hung on the cross. It was for you that Jesus shed his blood and died. Jesus looked beyond the suffering of the cross and he saw your redemption. Jesus had his heart set on you as his arms were spread out, as he hung there on the cross. He dismissed all of it as the shame of the cross, dismissed all of it as nothing compared to the joy of a personal relationship for you. It was for the joy set before him. You were the joy set before him. I can't think of a more marvelous truth than that in all of the scriptures. I love how Dane Ortlund illustrated it. He writes this: a compassionate doctor travels deep into the jungle to provide medical care to a people afflicted with a contagious disease. He correctly diagnoses the problem. The antibiotics are provided, they're ready, they're available. He's independently wealthy, this doctor. He needs no financial compensation whatsoever. But as he seeks to provide this care, the afflicted refuse. They want to take care of themselves. They want to be healed on their own terms. But then a few brave souls step forward and they come to him. And they receive that care being freely offered. How do you think the doctor feels in that moment? Joy, right? The doctor feels overwhelming joy. It's the very reason that the doctor hiked all the way into the jungle. And his joy increases to the degree that the sick come for him, or to him for help and for healing. So it is with Jesus and our salvation. So it is with us. And if you've been refusing, maybe you've heard this message, the gospel, many times, but you've been refusing year after year, season after season, I urge you, stop refusing that precious gift that Jesus has offered. His blood shed on the cross for you. You were the joy set before Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, the greatest gift ever given, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Again, I'll say it again, over and over again. You were the joy set before Jesus as He hung on the cross. Will you receive Him by faith? That precious gift freely given to you, will you receive Him by faith today? How do I do that? You do it by crying out to Him, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe You took my place on that cross. I believe, Jesus, You're the greatest gift ever given. I believe You rose again from the grave. I'm trusting in You for my eternal salvation. The Bible says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you trust Him today? You were the joy set before Him at the cross. And because of this, if you're in Christ this morning, you can have joy in your heart. There is joy in your heart, because joy is not found in the latest and greatest gift. There's going to be some good things under the tree this year, I'm sure. A lot of the new gifts, hot gifts this year, VR headset, new shoes, smartphone, fishing pole, air fryer, whatever your thing is. Joy is not really found in those things, is it? Joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy is found in Him alone. Why is that? It's because Jesus has removed the greatest obstacle of our joy. And what's the greatest obstacle of our joy? It's that ugly three-letter word again, sin. Jesus has taken it out of the way. He's dealt with it, nailed it to the cross. He's risen again. Death and sin, all of that has been defeated. Jesus has taken it all out of the way so that you can have joy. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing, the Scriptures say. We are chosen and loved, adopted and redeemed, forgiven and sealed. All those wonderful blessings of Ephesians chapter 1. And Jesus wrote this, John chapter 15. How can we have joy? Yes, joy is found in Jesus. What does that look like practically in the Christmas season? Really, Jesus lays it out. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And get this, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Wow. That my joy may be in you, Jesus says. Not a joy, but His joy poured out into your heart in salvation. What a beautiful truth there. So Jesus, the source of joy, the vine, and we are the branches. Apart from Him, there is no true joy. But not only the source of joy, but the sustainer of joy. All throughout every day of our life, even difficult times, even in this Christmas season, sustaining our joy. Apart from Him, there is no lasting joy. Now, I was really chewing on that as I prepared this. How practically can I have joy in the Christmas season? What does it look like day to day? It's all right there in John 15. Here it is. Jesus desires that our joy may be full. How is that? As we abide in Him, trusting in His promises. As we delight in Him by meditating on His Word. As we fellowship with Him in prayer, praying, God, Your will be done. And as we love Him by keeping His commandments. This may be a really difficult Christmas season for you. The ugliness of sin can creep into our lives. The ugliness of suffering, yet Jesus continues to sustain our joy. Jesus continues to remind us of the ultimate joy, the perfect joy, the eternal joy of heaven, where death will be no more. No more mourning or crying or pain or death, any of those things. On that day, we will hear those blessed words, enter into the joy of your master. And we know that's where true joy is in eternity, in the presence of Jesus Christ. In your presence there is fullness of joy, the Scriptures say, pleasures forevermore. I hope you believe that this morning. You were the joy set before Jesus. You were on His mind as He hung on the cross for you. So I ask you this, is He the joy set before you this morning? Is Jesus the joy set before you? Will Jesus be the joy set before you this Christmas season? This Christmas season, I encourage you, look to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of your faith, so that you may know true joy, so that you may know lasting joy. Father, thank you for the joy that we have in you, that we have in your Son. An amazing truth here. Fullness of joy, not joy that we conjure up, but Jesus' own joy in us. Thank you. Father, thank you for taking our sin out of the way. Thank you for nailing it to the cross. Father, thank you for accepting your Son's perfect atoning work on the cross for us, so that we might have joy. We might have it in abundance, that our joy may be full. Father, I know in a crowd this large, even online, that someone listening to the truth of your word has never experienced that joy, has never humbled themselves, admitted their sin, and trusted in the saving work of Jesus. Father, move. Holy Spirit, convict and draw and save as only you can. Even in these moments, do your good work in a heart. And Father, I pray for that weary soul this morning, struggling along, maybe even just not looking forward to the Christmas season at all, dreading it. Pour out your joy in that person's heart. Help them to know you're sustaining, your lasting joy. A joy in all of these things. Joy in your presence. Joy in spending time in your word. Joy in talking with you. Joy in obeying you. Fill that soul with joy this Christmas season. Fill our hearts right now with joy as we wrap things up. To you be the glory, the honor, and the praise today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.